Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, and welcome to Honey & Co. The Food Sessions. I'm Sarit Packer.
And I'm Itamar Srulovic. Our guest this week is a cookbook author who studied fashion, a very stylish lady who worked as a designer in Mumbai, moved to the UK, appeared in the Great British Bake Off in 2014 and stole our hearts.
She's got several books under her belt. And actually, we've had her on the podcast before. But during lockdown, we found ourselves looking at her videos quite a lot and getting inspiration from her delicious and approachable food. So we wanted to catch up with her again.
Welcome to Chetna Makan.
Hello! I am so excited as well. So excited.
Chetna is a very dear friend of the podcast and the whole Honey & Co. experience. And the talk that we did last time was on your street food book. I still remember the food that we cooked from it. It was so delicious.
You also didn't stop talking about it and going back to it, which is always a good sign, because that hasn't happened with every talk. He was definitely obsessed by it.
Yeah.
Talking of that, how are you? How has been your, I suppose, year and a half of pandemic?
How was your plague?
It's been all right. It's been okay. We've all tried to stay as safe as possible. Spend lots of time with the kids. Haven't stopped cooking. <That's> nice. I feel like I haven't left the kitchen, to be honest.
Have you given up on your own food by now? You know, you get to like a stage where you don't want to eat your own food.
I think I have, but I have no choice because, you know, they're not like kind of delis here, like Honey and Co. in Broadstairs. Yeah. We need one of those here. No, you can.
We have enough. We're selling ours. We don't want to open anymore. And you do quite a lot of your cooking with your kids, don't you?
I did it in the first lockdown, I guess, because then they went back to school. And
how old are they?
13 and 11.
Ah, so fun age for the kitchen.
Yes,
like it's
yes.
A good, they can really help out.
They do help out washing up, clearing up, making all my videos. They film everything I do.
Really?
For the last 1 year. Yeah, since basically a year and a half now. Since the lockdown started, I kind of couldn't get the cameraman in, obviously.
Yeah.
And they were home and I had a phone and I thought, you know what, why don't you? And they have filmed all
That's
my
amazing.
YouTube videos. Yeah.
The younger kind of generation, I don't want to sound too old, but I'm starting to feel very old. But don't they just take to it so easily? It's just so clear to them about angles and like which buttons to press and like quick edit. Sometimes you think, wow, we never had those skills.
Yeah, absolutely right. You are right. Because I think they are good with angles and stuff. And to think of it, they didn't really film anything food related before. Yeah. Like I imagine how my food should look or what angle it should come from, but they don't know.
It's good. It's a nice bonding kind of.
Yes, yes. And sometimes it's like, oh, mom, how long will it be?
Well, you're about 2 years away from them thinking that everything you do is the most embarrassing thing in the world. Aren't
I
you?
Know, my God.
It's coming though, Chetna. Oh, something to look forward to. Chetna, tell us a bit about how you ever ended up in the world of food, because it's not the world you started off in.
No, so I am a fashion designer, trained fashion designer. That's what I studied in college and that's what I was working as in Mumbai when I was in Mumbai. And then we moved to UK, my husband and myself moved to UK because he wanted to study further. And I just couldn't find anything in fashion where I live because I live in a small town. And I started watching Bake Off, and I was a big fan. So I watched from the very first season. And then by fourth season, my friends said, why don't you apply? Because I love making cakes. I can bake. I just need an excuse. If someone tells me that friend has a birthday, I would bake a cake. Just any excuses.
Can I just ask, do you remember anyone from the first season?
I actually don't remember anyone else.
I just remember a lady called Jasminda that baked a Mars bar. And I met her in real life and I was like meeting an idol.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, you're right. There was a Jasminda.
Yeah.
You kind of forget some of the content, like, you know.
You forget. I don't forget. I'm so invested in Bake Off. They're all my family.
Oh, that's so sweet. I do still watch it. And I think because I've been a fan before even I went in, I'm still a fan. And I just went in because I am such a feeder. That's why I love you guys so much, because I feel you are feeders too.
Sadly, we're probably the biggest feeders out there. I mean, you know, we're massive fans. And even every year we say we're not going to start watching this year. We do every year.
Really? Do you say that before the start?
Every year we say we're just not going to start. We don't have time. Our life's too busy.
Yeah.
And anyway, I mostly just sit there and shout at them for doing stupid things.
Do you?
And she's like, stop whisking.
I'm like,
stop.
You're over-whipping it. What are you doing?
Oh my God.
It's like every year we're like, oh yeah, we're not going to do another Bake Off. We just can't deal with the emotional turmoil.
Oh.
I just want to go back, Chetna, to the transition from fashion to food, which I think, of course, anyone that have met you or seen you in real life or on TV will know what a stylish person you are. What do you feel about the transition between fashion to food? How were there common grounds or transferable skills, or what's the difference?
For me, I found it quite easy transition, in the sense that I found that in fashion, I was looking at different colors, different kind of textures, and bringing it together, always drawing it on paper and then ending it with the actual physical thing. For Bake Off, I thought it's exactly the same. You put things on the paper thinking, oh, this spice, this much egg and this much flour and all that stuff. And then you get this final result. And I thought the whole process I found so familiar. And then you sometimes like something, so you add some more or add a bit less. And exactly how fashion works, because you add colors and you think that's too much embroidery or too much frill or whatever. It's very, very similar.
What kind of things were you designing? Just as a, you know, that's just me being snippy.
Actually, I did women's wear, and then I also did accessories, which was my last job, which I did just before I stopped working in fashion.
Were your family like disappointed that you stopped working in fashion?
Not at all. No. They were never disappointed. They've always kind of supported my choices. Even with fashion, I think it was something that nobody had done in the family or in the neighborhood or extended family. So it was really new. And I had to explain what I wanted to do. So it wasn't easy. But they were always supportive and backed my choices. And exactly happened with the food, you know.
I'm trying not to like that. Because he always tells me off that I ask a question too quickly and then he doesn't have a chance. I'm like trying to behave.
We try very hard not to talk over each other, Chetna. So sometimes we talk under each other.
You're laughing, but afterwards he's going to say to me, you didn't let me talk at all. You're just talking all the time. So I'm trying to be nice.
Go on, Itamar. What would you like to ask?
No, I want to say that I've started really avoiding your videos because I'm sorry, I don't take it personally, but like every time I see one of your videos, it just gets lodged in my brain. And this is what I want to eat for like until I get it out of my system. So really, I flick very fast when I see all your content. But that's a compliment.
Okay, then. Thank you.
He does get very obsessed about things that you make and then he wants to like, you know, gets in his head.
There is something about your cooking that is very, always feel very accessible on one hand, but just completely enticing and very, very, you know, you just want to eat it and you just want to make it. And this brings me to the last book, actually, which is 30 Minutes Indian. Tell us a bit about how it came about.
When we were still in lockdown, I think everybody was making sourdough and I've never made sourdough. It's just not for me at all.
Banana bread? Did
no,
you make banana
no,
bread?
No, no. What even is banana bread? That's another conversation. That's
a different conversation.
It's an existential conversation.
Seriously. So yeah, I wasn't following all that. And I saw that even my local friends, they were spending a lot of time cooking and they were asking me what can we make and looking for recipes and things. But I think slowly, the novelty wore off. And by summer, I think everyone was like, people still want those exciting meals, but just don't want to spend so much time. And that's how the 30-minute Indian came about. So I always put things that I enjoy eating myself. So you'll find no meats that I don't eat. So it's always chicken and fish and lots of veg and lots of lentils, because we kind of almost live on lentils. Rice,
which
bread.
All things that cook quite fast anyway.
Exactly. But some lentils take quite a long time to cook.
Yeah.
So I had to avoid those things. It's the first time I wrote recipes keeping my timer next to me, because
checking how it's going to work.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I said, you know. It was interesting. The timer bit was very
interesting. So you were quite strict about, it's not just what it says on the cover. It actually is 30 minutes cooking.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think people are quite upfront in saying, oh, this doesn't work. The first ones to say. So I didn't want those kind of reviews coming flooding in, because, you know, I don't want to make false promises, basically.
Yeah.
So far, whatever I've done in any of my books, it is what you see on the cover is what you get.
Yeah. This is a very enticing concept to me, because, you know, I have this kind of maybe reverence to food from the subcontinent, which I love those flavors, but I always feel like I should be, you know, clear half a day, have my Madhur Jaffrey and like trillion ingredients and be like, tuck, 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 tuck. It always takes time, because it's not something that I'm very adept in. It takes me a little bit longer. So this is a very appealing concept for me and for a lot of people, I think.
You're very adept at eating it, though.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, one of my favorite cuisines. But I wanted to ask about the actual recipes. Are they family recipes that are adapted to the time frame, or things that you came up with for that particular book?
I've used up all my family recipes by now. Because after writing all these books,
recipes.
See, this is your fifth book. It's your sixth
book.
Fifth book.
So I have kind of used all of them in the previous books. But they're just things that I now cook for my family. So they will be my children's family recipes.
You can tell a little bit, the listeners, about the structure of the book, how it is broken down.
The book starts with snacks, because, you know, we all love snacks.
This was
your go-to.
Everything from that chapter I would eat, but particularly the potato and cheese bowl things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, yes. They're very good.
So
they're
good.
Very good. Next time you take a break, just get on a train to Broadstairs and let me cook for you guys.
You have to be careful when you say those things, Chetna, because you don't know.
No, I'm not being. I am being careful. I'm serious. Just
when we knock on your door.
Yeah.
Feed us. That's
I'm glad that we have this recorded and on record. When you get security to drag us out of your house.
I don't have security.
We will play the recording and saying, this is the invitation, we're here. Even though he said she only invited for dinner, not for 3 days.
Oh, that's even 3 days is fine. Don't come empty-handed. That's all I'm saying.
No, we come with cakes. We always come with cakes.
We always come with
cakes. Cakes or cookies. We have never been known to arrive anywhere without cakes or cookies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
So it's got starters, it's got a fish chapter with fish curries, and then my favorite chapter, the chicken chapter, which is some of my absolute favorite things to eat. And masala chicken, when I made that recipe, I was like, that's it. That is my
it's
new favorite.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Because you did it on video in a couple of...
No, I haven't done masala chicken yet. I'm going to do it sometime soon. I haven't done it yet. I did butter chicken on video. Yeah, so good, so good.
That was a problem in our house.
Yeah. I'm sure you've got half an hour somewhere here and there. And I'm sure you've got all the ingredients.
No, I'm telling
home.
You, I'm choosing dinner now. I'm choosing the paneer with coconut. This is like
perfect.
It just looks to me like something I would love to smash.
Everything with paneer is
delicious. And then if you add coconut, even more. Definitely this chicken looks great.
I was very taken with the vegetable chapter, I have to say, Chetna. I love the aubergine and tamarind. That looks like an amazing recipe and very simple as well.
Yes. I'd like to keep it simple. And then dal, we kind of live on lentils. So much lentils we go through, seriously.
Talk us through like a basic dal.
It's easy. So you cook some lentils in water, salt and turmeric. So I use a pressure cooker, but you can just use a pan. You can use red lentils. You can use yellow. I usually use arhar dal, which is tuar dal. You can find it in specific Asian shops, but red lentils are available in all supermarkets. Red lentils take literally 8 to 9 minutes to cook. And then that's done. And in a pan, you just heat some butter or some ghee or some oil if you want to keep it vegan. You add some cumin seeds. They start sizzling. And then you add some chopped up onions, golden them, and then add some ginger and garlic if you want. I always add lots of garlic. Green chilies. And then you add some tomatoes. And they start to kind of break down. That's when you add some chili powder and lots of fresh chopped coriander and then pour that over the lentils, mix it and eat.
You know what? I can listen to you talk about making that all day long. First of all, it just makes you hungry, but also it's so clear that it's just in your...
Something that you do in your sleep.
Yeah.
And I love that you say golden the onions. I'm going to use it all the time now. That's such a beautiful phrase.
What do you hate cooking? What would you never cook?
Oh, I think I have never put a broccoli recipe out ever in the 7 years because I'm just not a big fan of broccoli. Broccoli, kale.
Kale. What is kale? What a ridiculous
what
thing.
What is up with kale?
I can only somehow just manage it if it's kind of pureed and hidden in something. But just, yeah.
I feel that way about bananas.
Really?
Bananas are the devil in my house.
Oh, my God.
Not only in our house, but also in the restaurant. You will not
banana
see
cake?
Any banana cake.
You will never see any.
Wow, that's interesting.
I refuse. Every time I have like a new pastry chef and they're like, ooh, let's do a banana bread. I'm like, no.
Wow.
Not in our place. Well, it's like you say about your books. If you don't want it there, then
but
why
that's
would,
why
you know?
It's your... restaurant and it's my book because it's mine and it has to be personal, which is what makes your work and your food different to others, because you are doing it because you love eating it. That's why you want to cook it for others.
Do you feel that your food has been very influenced by living in the UK? Where would you put your place between kind of your Indian heritage to living in the UK?
It's a tricky one because I don't do, like people will say, oh, this is not cooked traditionally. And, you know, what is authentic? Because if my mum cooks it, it's authentic to me. It doesn't matter, you know, how it was cooked 100 years ago. And I do simplify things because I want to make complicated, difficult recipes, but I can't do it every single day. There are specific days I want to do that. Create your own phyllo pastry and make a tart. I would love the idea, but not today. Not every day you can't do these things. So
I just want to say that there is never a day of making
phyllo. I actually did recently make it. A couple of weeks ago, I made phyllo. Oh yeah. I don't do it very often, though, I have to say. Yeah. So I think it's, for me, it's not English or not Indian food. It's something we've grown up with. And it's in our kind of blood where we can cook it in sleep. And I don't have to think how much I'm adding because I know how much this much is, a pinch or a spoonful, how it'll taste. I know exactly how it's going to taste in the food. I don't know how to exactly explain or give a term to my food. It's just easy, delicious food.
Good. This is a good term. Easy, delicious food is what everyone is looking for, isn't it? Jedna, tell us something you cooked this week. Do you like the seasons? Do you cook with seasons or you kind of quite stick to your things?
I do both because I do cook vegetables according to season, but quite a few of our main meals are just based around lentils. Like today I've made red kidney bean curry, which is not really seasonal, but yesterday I made green lentils. So our main meal is very centered around lentils, but then on the side, green bean, potato, pulao yesterday. So that's what I found in the shops. It's a mix.
And you go rice with it or flatbreads, or what's your like go-to? Because for me, it's always rice, but I, you know, convince me if it shouldn't be rice.
Why not rice? If that's what you want.
No, I don't know. Like,
if that's exactly what you want to eat, absolutely fine. If every time it is rice.
As long as I've been approved to always have right, then I'm okay with that.
As if you need anyone's permission for
but
anything.
I like to get an authority telling me that it's okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Go for rice.
Tell me about the masala chicken and then that's what I'm going to force my husband to make with the coconut paneer.
Okay, I've got the recipe here because I can't remember all my recipes, which is one question my kids always ask saying, but it's your recipe.
No, who can remember all their recipes? It's impossible. I mean,
all you have to do is dry roast some gram flour because raw gram flour doesn't taste very nice. So you have to dry roast it until you can kind of get the aroma and it changes color, and then you make the marinade. So you add some.
What does that mean to people? Have you ever watched Schitt's Creek?
Yes, I started watching it recently.
So I don't know if you've reached the part where they cook together and it says to them fold the. Wait for the fold the cheese recipe. Fold the cheese in. It's the best episode ever. But tell people what is dry roasting, because to you it's obvious, but to loads of people, that's
so
not
dry roasting is heat a pan and then roast whatever you have to roast without using any oil, butter, ghee. So just dry pan and you roast it. So here we are roasting gram flour, which is chickpea flour, because it takes away the raw flavor of the gram flour, which is brilliant. And it brings back the nuttiness in the flour, which is really delicious in this marinade especially. And the reason I used it in this marinade is because it helps stick the marinade to the chicken. So the gram flour helps stick it. We've got some natural yogurt because I always use natural yogurt. Add some black salt, ingredient we use in kind of chaat and street food, a lot of street food, because it's got this sourness to it. So add that, add some chili powder. I've used Kashmiri chili powder because of the color. Also some dried fenugreek leaves, which is something you can these days find easily in supermarkets, thankfully. Some garam masala, some ground cumin, and then you just mix it all. So you make it like a yogurty paste, which you then apply to your chicken pieces. So you add the chicken pieces, cover it up, and then you've got this lovely coating on the chicken. I'm looking at the picture and I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
you coat it and then you cook it in some oil. So you just don't even kind of just pan fry it, basically. Because I'm using small chicken pieces, it takes very little time. Less than half an hour, Itamar. Come on, get on it.
I'm so excited by my dinner tonight, Chetna.
I'm on it. Like, I'm doing it.
I don't know when people are going to listen to this, but now it's kind of just about coming up to 6:30. We have to finish our talk because we're hours almost up. I know my husband's going to like get dinner for me by 7 p.m. This is what I want.
What?
Come on, 30 minutes. You have.
Do you know, Chetna, now you've created a monster. She's going to be with a timer.
Listen, she's absolutely right in demanding meal in 30
it's
minutes.
It's a human right. It's a human
and
right.
And Chetna's promised us that it's possible. So, you know. This is another thing we like to do in demos and stuff like that. There's two of us cooking and we cook all this like food, blah, blah, blah. And in like 40 minutes, they have like a full spread and we say to them, that's all you need. Two professional chefs. A professional kitchen, all the ingredients measured
exactly for you. An assistant to do all the dishes. And that's it.
Oh
very,
my
very
God,
simple.
That is
a Middle
so
Eastern
true.
Feast.
That is so true. Suddenly I've got a craving for your cheesecake. Oh. Gosh.
What do you mean suddenly? Oh. Don't you always have
it? No, I always have it, but I'm suddenly thinking masala chicken followed by cheesecake. Oh, goodness. I might come to your Honey & Co. once again and learn something.
Just to have a cheesecake.
This time I might just come to your house, like cook together in your kitchen.
That would be the dream. We will do all the prep. You will do all the cooking.
I never said that.
We will do all the eating.
Who will... Well, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
No, I'm happy to do that.
The only question is who's going to fill up the dishwasher?
Sarit is there.
That's
going to
be a big fight.
I have this thing in my head where I think he does it badly so that I continue to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like he just refuses to learn where the things are so that I will just always do it and that's it.
I'm not even getting involved. I'm not even going there.
Oh, God. He's a clever man.
All right, good. We will let you go and make dinner. We will let my husband come and make me dinner. We will thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
For your books and for your enthusiasm and for your videos and your content. And it's all amazing. And I hope you continue to do loads of it so that we can continue to fantasize about loads of food.
Oh, thank you so much. Seriously, so fun. Thank you so much for having me again.
That is it for this episode of Honey & Co. The Food Sessions.
Do join us for the rest of the autumn series. We'll be talking to chefs and writers from all over the world and from across food traditions, to New York's Jake Cohen, Seattle's Renee Erickson, and to London's Sami Tamimi and Tara Wigley.
Caroline Eden journeys through Central Asia, and we'll end on something sweet, as always, with pastry chef extraordinaire Avnit Gill.
Thank you to our producer Miranda Hinckley, to our engineers, Paul Brogdon and John Scott, to Daniel Winshall for writing the music, and thanks to Louisa Cornford, our Lulu, for all the help she puts into the podcast, and to all our team at Honey & Co. We couldn't do this without you.
Thank you for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.